blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 290, stanzas 4 and 5. O Lord, remember me in grace. Let me salvation see the grace thou showest to thy saints, that grace reveal to me. 4 and 5 of Psalter 290.
Father, we wish to read out of God's holy and precious word according to what we can find in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 13, beginning with verse 24 to the end. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took, and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thou knowest the unbelief that lives in the heart of man, that lives in the heart of the natural man, that lives in the heart of thy own children so often, so that thou hadst to say to thy disciples, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? That wicked and that awful unbelief, oh, could it please thee to take it away from us? For if thou dost not prevent, it will be the cause of our eternal condemnation. O Lord, that thou may instruct us, thy disciples did ask of thee, show to us the meaning of this parable, and thou who didst speak them, and that thou mightest make a difference between the wicked and the righteous, that thou wouldest hide from the eyes of the wicked the meaning of thy word, and that thou wouldest reveal it unto the babes. Oh, could it please thee to reveal it unto each and every one of us, and that we may be truly made a babe, for thou knowest what we are in and of ourselves, and we lift ourselves up in pride and in sin. We do follow what our first parents have done in their rebellion against thee. We are offended at thee in the creation, and we have read it together, offended at thee in the redemption. Oh, then we will not receive it, because it comes not from us, because it gives not us the glory. Oh, that thou mayest convert us, Lord. Grant us new hearts of flesh and draw our hearts unto thee. And while it is today yet a day of grace and a time of salvation, wilt thou give in the heart of both young and old that seed to be sown, that good seed that is sown by thee. For we have heard it also out of our confession. I believe in the Holy Ghost, and thou art all powerful to conquer the hearts of the rebellious, to take away all the unbelief, and to bring us in a teachable place at thy footstool, that we may be given to know who and what we are by nature, that we may be given to loathe ourselves before thee, and that we may be given to cry unto thee for mercy and for grace while it is still to be had. Oh, that thou mayest work among our children and our youth, that thou may give to them to remember their Creator while they are still young, That they may be kept from much sin in this life, and that their young hearts and their young bones and their young strength may be given not to this world and to the prince of this world, but that it may be set aside by thee, even as thou didst in the life of a Timothy of old, and the days of their youth, that they may seek thee and find thee and serve thee by beginnings here below, then to be received by thee into that eternal glory. O, look upon each and every one, also those that have become old, under the preaching, under the truth. Lord, thou knowest they cannot do it, but that Holy Spirit, O thou who hast ascended on high, and who speaks and it is done, who commands and it stands firm, O that thou mayst send him forth, could it be even yet in this very day and hour, that he may come to touch the hearts of the fathers, of the children, of the grandparents. Lord, thou knowest each one and what we stand in need of. Care for all those that are afflicted and sick, those that are in the nursing home. Wilt thou remember them in all the needs of old age? Wilt thou give them a cry, even a childlike cry unto heaven? Those that are in their own homes also yet, wilt thou care for them in their places, the sick, the father who cannot labor to support his household? Lord, we beseech thee also for him, and that thou wouldst give the doctors wisdom, that there may be a solution to his case, and that in all the need of the body, he might learn to cry out of the need of a soul that is not able to do anything, and that is not able to cure itself, and that needs help from another side, a physician, where there is balm in Gilead. Remember the mother in the house, in the hospital in Calgary. Wilt thou make it well and heal the body and supply for the families? Wilt thou care for all handicapped ones, all those that are blind and deaf and dumb, those that do suffer from serious diseases, those that receive treatments? Thou knowest the case, each and every one, and what they stand in need of. And this life will be a life of continual sorrows. Then our strength, the strength of our life, that is but labor and sorrow, and so we fly away. But in the midst of it all, that there may be a little instruction, that we might learn to cry, and that we might learn to pray, and that we might learn to beg, and that we may receive blessings that can come only out of thy hand. May it be out of thy right hand, that it may not be to our eternal destruction. Do look upon all those that rule and reign over us. Could it please thee, Lord, to govern them, that thou may instruct them, bring them to thy footstool, give them wisdom also, and that thou may stay thy hand, yet in all the judgments that thou bringest upon us in the world. O Lord, we turn not from our sin, not in the church, nor in the world, and we cannot expect thy blessing except that we repent. O bind thou it upon the heart of each and every one of us, and that there might yet be mercy amidst well-deserved wrath. Look upon all those that bring thy word. Give wisdom, give thy spirit, and wilt thou go forth and to the length and the breadth of this whole world, that thy kingdom may come, that thy will may be done, that thy name may be magnified and glorified by beginnings here in this world, only to receive that blessed perfection when thou wilt say unto thy church, come, and receive that kingdom and that is prepared of my Father. O Lord, give to us a holy jealousy together, that we might receive the blessed portion that thou reservest unto all thy people. Give us wisdom. Give us thy Holy Spirit. Also in this afternoon hour, strength for the body, clarity for the mind, words and matters, and that there may be fruit also in thy house, a little hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that we might be filled for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 421, the third stanza. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. And what follows in the third stanza of Psalter 421. Beloved congregation, time and again we read in this chapter, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. What is the kingdom of heaven? That does not always mean exactly the same thing. Sometimes it is speaking about heaven. that is the kingdom of heaven in its final state and glory. Sometimes it is speaking about the church here below, and that is either in the visible church, or sometimes it is speaking about the invisible church. Thus, the visible church, that is the church that is to be seen in this world, that is as a porch. It is not really part of the actual house, but it is as the entrance into that kingdom of heaven. Thus, it is necessary that we are brought into the porch, as it were, in order that we may also enter in unto the house, into the kingdom itself, and that we also may enter finally into that eternal glory. The Lord Jesus, He has said numerous times here, that the kingdom of heaven is like unto. Why does He say that? Why does He make a comparison? Because the kingdom of Christ, He has said Himself, is a spiritual kingdom. He said that to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." And thus it is a spiritual kingdom. And now that spiritual kingdom, as it is with all the other spiritual things, is something difficult for us to understand. Is that not so, boys and girls? The things that are spiritual, they are hard to understand. The things that are natural, they are easier to understand. What do you do, boys and girls, when you do not understand? The disciples, they said, "Lord, show unto us the parable." Do you do that too when you come home from church and you say, "Lord, there are so many things, I did not understand them. Wilt thou show unto me the parable?" And the Lord, by those parables, He makes a comparison to the things that are in this world. Or that is to bring it for His children unto, in a natural way, to something they could understand. But we read in the Bible that those parables, they were also a judgment, because it was in order to hide unto those who rebelled. Will that also be a judgment unto us? Congregation, our text that can be found in the portion that was read to you, Matthew 13, thereof the 44th verse. Matthew 13, verse 44 again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. So far the words of our text. The kingdom of heaven likened unto treasure. First, hid treasure. Second, found treasure. And third, bought treasure. The kingdom of heaven likened unto treasure, first hid, second found, and third bought treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto treasure. What is treasure? What is treasure, children? Say treasure, that is something that is very valuable. That is something that is very precious. Yes, and here, if you will have a little picture in your mind, then it is speaking actually about something that is, well, perhaps a little basket, perhaps a little coffer, something that is containing all kinds of treasures, all kinds of jewels, which make that little basket very, very valuable. And now we know that the Lord Jesus, he is saying that the kingdom of heaven is like unto. Thus he is speaking about spiritual things. And then the Lord Jesus is declaring that those spiritual things, that those heavenly things, they are likened unto treasure. That they are very, very valuable, the things of God, the things of our soul, the things of heaven. That they are very, very valuable. What do we think of that? Do we agree with the Lord Jesus? He speaks about treasure. He speaks about the treasure of heavenly things. He speaks about the treasure of heavenly wisdom. What think we about heavenly wisdom? He speaks about the wisdom that comes from God only. He speaks about that which is able to make us wise unto salvation. He says those are the things that are precious. They are like treasures. They are the things that have value in this world. He speaks about the treasures of righteousness. Oh, to be acceptable with God. The treasure of virtue. The treasure of goodness. The treasure of being one with Him. Blessed are they, he says, that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, after that treasure, that spiritual gift. For they shall be filled. David was delivered from Saul. What did he say? He says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. All that righteousness had great value. That is, that David knew in his own heart that in this matter, that he was not guilty. No, that he had done nothing against his father-in-law. And that the Lord, he had rewarded him according to that righteousness. Was that not to him valuable? Was that not to him as a treasure? The Lord Jesus, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. That means that treasure that was below the ground could not see it. It went unnoticed. It was outside of the view of man. Indeed, man, he came very close to that treasure each and every day. As he was walking over that field. And now the Lord Jesus, he speaks about that treasure that is just as it were lying very, very close to us. It is very, very near. It is in that Word of God. And yet he says it is hid. We have that Word. We read that word, we listen to that word, and we do not perceive the value of that word. We do not perceive the treasure that is lying within the pages of God's holy book. It is hidden from our eyes. The field is open. That field is wide. We may go each and every day from page to page. There is no hindrance. That word that is preached, it is preached within that visible church. But the treasure that is not valued, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. It is hid. Man, he is so superficial. He looks over that field. He never thinks of what is maybe a little deeper. He never has a desire to look a little deeper than everything that is just upon the surface of that field. And so he is doing every single day. He is walking through that field. He is treading upon that field from morning until evening. And he gets up in the morning, and you take that. Right, young people? You have a Bible, and it is next to your bed, right? And you open that in the morning when you get up, and then you are reading something out of the Word of God before you begin the day. And yet that treasure that is in that Word, but it is hid, the Lord Jesus says. It is hidden beneath our feet. And so from our youth, even unto our old age, we are so very, very near unto that treasure, but we have no perception of it. The kingdom of heaven that is like unto treasure hid in a field. What is it? What is now so close to us that the Lord Jesus is here speaking about within that field that he says is like unto treasure? You know what it is? You know what is so close to us? Reconciliation. Reconciliation with a triune God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Reconciliation with our Creator. Reconciliation with our Maker. That it would be right again between our soul and God. What do you think of that? Is that precious to you? I should not ask you that question. I will tell you how it is. Because the Lord Jesus tells us how it is in his word. He tells us how it is by nature. Then we do not have to ask a person who can make a misjudgment. But the Lord Jesus says that treasure that is hid from us. We come to the house of God. We take up his word. We read. We go home again, and we are content. We are content because we have done what we think to be our duty. But we have left God in heaven. And we see no preciousness when we have done our duty for this week. Then we see no preciousness. We see no value in being reconciled with God. There is a veil. There is a veil that is covering our eyes. We are blinded. What veil is that? Oh, there is the veil of ignorance. The Bible says that they have a darkened understanding. They are ignorant. They cannot see it. Congregation, it is more than a veil of ignorance. There's also a veil of prejudice. We do not desire it. And why not? Because we are lifted up with our own wisdom, that we do not need the wisdom of God. We do not need any other. No one has to tell me that he is wiser than I am, not even God. Treasure hid in a field. What treasure is that? That is congregation free and complete justification. Free justification. Oh, what a treasure. To be shown to be right with that holy law of God. Not by an earthly judge. No, but by that heavenly judge. Oh, to be justified. You see no value in it. One day we are going to see something of the value of that justification. Oh, to be released from all punishment, that the guilt of past sin, that the guilt of future sin would be all taken away, and that we would be acquitted and able to stand before a holy and a righteous God. Treasure. What a treasure. But it is hid from our eyes. What a treasure to be blind to, that we are so close unto forgiveness. The forgiveness of all our iniquity. Do you know how close that is? That is in that field of the Word of God. That is to be had, congregation, for the asking. For the asking. Do you believe that? That is so very, very close. Why have we not received it? Because of a veil of ignorance. Because of a veil of prejudice. We have no desire because the treasure is hid. A hid treasure. Sanctification. A hid treasure. So close to be received by the Lord only for the asking, to be washed, to be cleansed, to be made into a new creature, a new man, to have a right heart, to have a good heart, to love God above all, to love my neighbor as myself. Sanctification. Washing. Treasure? Treasure or no treasure? It is a treasure, but it is a hid treasure. Peace with God. Treasure? Oh, what a treasure. When there is no more wrath, what a treasure. And when there is communion, what a treasure when there is favor that is to be shown by God unto a wretched and a sinful creature. Hid. Faith. Is that a treasure? True faith. True saving faith. Is that now a treasure? Eternal glory. Eternal happiness. Is that now a treasure? Oh, what things are not hid in that field? What a blindness. What a superficiality. What a foolishness. That man, he goes on over that field each and every day. And all those blessings all those that Christ himself calls treasures, they are lying in that field to be had for the asking. Is that so for everyone? That to everyone there is no treasure, by nature that is so, for every single one. And yet, we read here that it is not so for all. That is in our second thought. We read that this treasure that is a found treasure. Thus, there are things. There are things that are in and of themselves. They are objectively, we say, they are of great value, of great worth. That is what the Lord Jesus declares. Yet, he says that they are not treasured by everyone. Everyone does not see them. Everyone does not see the value of them as a treasure. Did you ever see children? You will see that more if you go into the city. We lived close by New York City. And there, if you would go, you would see very, very often there would be people. They would be walking in the street. And they would be digging in the garbage. We have an expression in this world that says, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And that is true. All there are people, they are looking in that trash just for a piece of bread. What is it? What is it that makes one man's trash into another man's treasure? Ah, that is often the need. That is often the circumstances. That is his hunger. It is his poverty. It is his poverty that he may desire just that slice of bread. How is that now? By nature, those spiritual things that the Lord Jesus is here speaking about. What is that to us? Oh, that is no treasure. Dead. In trespasses and in sins. No conception of its value. We bring into our possession everything that is in this world. And this is the part that we can leave behind. But here, the Lord Jesus speaks about a man who has found this treasure hid in that field. What does he speak about? Oh, he speaks about, in the first place, those first drawings. The first drawings in the heart of a man after the things of God. Do you know what that is? For the first time in your life, the first drawings after spiritual things, the first drawings after things that we cannot see, the first drawing after the blessings that come from heaven. How does that happen? That a man finds this treasure. So I've been walking over this field for many years. How does that happen? That a person finds that treasure. Oh, then it is not as if this man, he is looking, that he is seeking for that treasure. Oh, the Bible that says that it is enemies that are converted unto the Lord. They are all gone aside. Man is not seeking after God. How is it then that a man, he is finding this treasure that is coming from the side of God? That is, that the Lord, He is in the ways of His providence leading His elect. He has chosen them from that never begun eternity. They are born and conceived the same as every other man that is in this world. But it is the Lord who is going to make a difference in the life of this man when there is no difference between him and everyone else. Thus, in the experience of that man, it is simply in the ways of the Lord's providence. The Lord, He is directing this. How does He direct that? Most of the time, then He is bringing them under His word. That it is by birth and baptism that they are made members of that church. No, young people, it is not so. That most of the time, that it is a person who is out seeking all of this world. And we would say, living it up in this world. No, that is not most of the time how that the Lord is working in the life of His people. Most of the time, it is in that normal way that the Lord, He is bringing a person into the porch. He is bringing him under the preaching of that word, under the reading of that word. He brings that sinner to the Word. He brings the Word unto that sinner. And He brings them then into that porch, unto that right to the entrance, as it were, of this kingdom of God. And often then they are somewhat faithful in this, not because of true desire, because there is no true desire, but there may be common desire. You have common desire. And then they are reading every day. They are faithful in that, young people. Are you faithful in that? Every day they are reading. Every day they are praying. At least, even just to fulfill their duty. And then something happens. Oh, then there comes a day. It is the day of the good pleasure of the Lord. It is a day that is the same in their own eyes as the day before and the year before. They have taken up that holy word of God. Or they are sitting in that house of God and they are listening. And then suddenly, they hear something. Suddenly, they read something. Maybe they read this verse. Or they read that verse that speaks about the treasure that is hid in that field. Something happens. Something very deep happens. No, they cannot explain it. No, they are not speaking about it. But they go out of that door and they go to their home. And that word that goes with them, it goes with them. The Lord has a little seed. He has planted that word, just one word, maybe, treasure. Treasure. And they go about their labors on Monday, and they do their work. And as they are working, then it is coming back again. Treasure. Treasure. Then they have to do something else. They come home at night. And they look at that word. And they say, in that word, there is a treasure. Oh, then it is not the same every day. There is one day less. There is another day more. And yet there is something that has happened in the life of this person. There is a word, a little word, the word of God, a seed that has been planted. And they cannot let it go. Maybe a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years. But that word, no matter what happens in the life of that people, that word is planted in their heart. And there is something that has happened there. Oh, that is so small. That is what Christ said. Seed, children, that is so small. And that is the way that people see it too. They are not making something of that. It is so very small. They are not speaking about that. They have not become someone with that. No. But something has happened. And their views change. Their estimation changes about what is valuable and what is not valuable. What is a treasure and what is not a treasure? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, the man hath found something. Do you know what he says in his heart? He says, blessed is that people whose God is the Lord. Oh, what a treasure he has found. No, it is not just objectively, but now also subjectively. Now he begins to see what a treasure that actually is, so that the things that before he hated now are the things that he begins to love. And what does the Lord Jesus say that he does with this treasure? Did you read it, children? It says, when he hath found it, he says, he hideth it. That is not in a negative sense. That is in a positive sense. What does that mean? Spiritually, that means that he lays it up in his bosom. He has a secret there. In his heart. Do you have a secret there? In your heart? No, a secret we are not speaking about. Because a little child, he cannot speak yet. An infant, he cannot explain yet. No, the Lord Jesus says, he hideth. He lays it up in his heart. He does not want to lose it. He is hanging on to it. And he would like every day to experience that same thing. He is going back again into that field. Or he is searching, as it were, that he may experience something of that same thing. Oh, how much secrecy is there in the life of that people. Very often, especially in that young life, in that beginning life, oh, sometimes it is hid from their own wife. Sometimes it is hid from their own husband. I do not think they can hide it so long, because it will become manifest in the fruits, especially when there is some discernment among the people of the Lord, and yet there is so much secrecy with that treasure, with the estimation that is changed, that is living in the bottom of their heart. And there is, with this, Christ says, joy. He says, for joy thereof he hideth. Ah, you say, no, that is not how it begins. It begins with weeping, does it not? It begins with sorrow, does it not? No, it does not. It cannot. Because the Lord does not merely convict of sin, but he convinces of sin. Where does sorrow come from? Where does sorrow come from? It comes from love. You do not have sorrow. You have regret without love, but no sorrow. Sorrow is when you love your mother, your father, children, young people, you love them. And that is why there is sorrow in your heart when you sin against them. So in order for there to be true tears, oh, you can weep tears if you're punished, if that hurts. But the true tears, the tears of sorrow, are born of love. And when the Lord is planting love in your heart, in the finding of that treasure, then there is joy. No, I do not say that people, they are dancing, they are leaping for joy, as this world leaps for joy. I do not say that. But when that treasure is seen, when the heart changes and is made new, and when there is a desire for those things, then there is joy in the heart. The Lord does not drive his people. That is what the Pharisees did. They drove the people. They made religion grievous to be born, precept upon precept, line upon line. That is not true of Christ. It is exactly the opposite. He does not drive them, no. He does not come from behind, no. That is what he will do in his wrath and in his judgment. But he goes before them, and he is drawing that people. He is planting love in their heart for joy thereof, and that is tasted already in that regeneration. Oh, there is so much sweetness in that life of God's children. Oh, there is so much honey, as it were, in especially that young life. That is the difference between the true faith and historical faith. Not with temporary yet. You see that later, it follows well. But that historical faith, oh, we can be so staunch about the truth, and we can know the truth, and we can agree with the truth, but there is no sweetness in it. There is nothing that is drawing our heart unto the Lord. There is no love. There is no joy. The Lord says, I drew them. I drew them with the cords of a man and with the bands of love. And he's going to bring them from the porch, into the house, the kingdom of heaven. Let us sing first. 163, the second stanza. The loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. So I will bless thee while I live and lift my prayer to thee. The second stanza of Psalter 163. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. That is our third thought, a bought treasure. You will say, boys and girls, is that right? A bought treasure? How can that be? Because I have heard that from my mother and father and my teachers and you, that does not need to be bought. Say it is free. That is right. It is free. It is indeed free to God's people. It was not free to the Lord Jesus. Remember that. Sin, that is a costly thing. It has cost him his life, his blood. But indeed, it is free to his people. And yet, the Lord Jesus says that it is not to be obtained without a cost. That is a mystery. But what does Christ say? He says that he that will come after me and who hated not his father and his mother and his wife and his children, his brothers, his sisters, yea, his own life also, cannot be my disciple. And goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. The Lord Jesus, he speaks here about a trade. He says there is a selling of something and there is a buying of something. The one that is forsaken for the sake of that other. The world. for the treasure. Bunyan speaks about that in his precious book. Then he says there is a departure. Then there is a going out. Then there is a leaving. There is a forsaking of that city of destruction. For what reason? Well, that is that he may enter into that kingdom of heaven. That is the celestial city. That did not come from Bunyan. That is why we say you should read that book. He has taken that out of the Word of God. Even such as our own text. That is the way that the Lord is working in the life of His children, to bring them into that kingdom of heaven. And when this man, he finds that treasure in his field, what should he do, children? What should he do? Should he take it? Should he steal it? Say, no. No, no, no. You're not allowed to steal. That is right. That treasure is not his. It belongs to somebody else. And so he does not just take it. He does not steal it, no. And still he wants it. And thus he wants to get it in an honest way, that it would become his own. That is now the life's aim of this man. That treasure that he has found, that it would belong not merely to someone else, but that it may belong also to me. And he is ready, the Lord Jesus says, to forsake the world and every former friend in order that he may receive it. He says, what is it that I can forsake for this? Or must forsake? No, that does not mean that he goes out of this world to forsake his work, his place here in this world. That is not possible. Although sometimes they wish that they could. No, he does not go out of this world, but he begins to sell out. That is what Christ says, to sell out. He will sell what? He will sell his old books. He will sell his old way of life. He will forsake his former wicked friends, and you can fill it in. Know the things that are in this world that formerly he has valued and prized as a great treasure. He does not see that anymore. That has lost its value. His careless life that becomes a careful life. Careful for what? That he does not sin. Why? Oh, he wants to obtain that treasure. No, when that man finds that treasure that is not his, will you remember that, young people? It is not yet his. Why do we emphasize that to you? Because we live in a world that immediately, when there is a little feeling, then immediately then it is ours. And immediately then I am including myself. Conversion that is soon finished, and I am ready for mission work. No, that is not how it goes. The Lord Jesus, he says that here the work begins. Here the work begins to obtain something that they miss, that is not theirs, but that they see has a great value, that has become very, very precious to them. Oh, now is the time in that new birth that the people, they are beginning to sell. To sell everything in order that they may obtain that which has become precious in their eyes. Is selling easy? No, it is not easy. Oh, there is much that is easy. But then there are some things that are not so easy. Why? Because sin that lies close to our heart. And the Lord, He is jealous of His honor. And there is nothing that the Lord is going to allow to leave in that people. All the bosom sins, they have to be sold also, as well as all the rest. And so they go to work to obtain their life's aim, their life's goal, that treasure. All those outward things. Or they become actually the easy things. But there is something that they thought they'd never have to sell. And what is that? That is not the sin. That is not the sin. The Bible says it is the righteousnesses. It is the religion. It is the good works. They never thought that they would have to sell this. And that there is nothing so mysterious in their own mind. There is nothing that is so against their own flesh that they have to sell all of this. That is what the rich young ruler could not let go. He was a good man. It says the Lord Jesus loved him, not because, not as a one of his own children, though, but there was a man who lived an upright life. Outwardly. And now the Lord Jesus says, sell it all. Sell it all. And that man, he goes away sorrowful. And we do not read that he comes back. Oh, to sell the righteousnesses. That is not the work of a man. That is now the work of the Spirit of the Lord. To strip those righteousnesses away from a man. Do you think that happens overnight? Oh, that happens most of the time over the course of many years. There is much discouragement in it. Why? Because it is so mysterious. Because if it is now sin that is standing in the way, then it must be the forsaking of sin that is going to make that path forward by which that I may obtain that precious treasure. Oh, if I have to let go of my righteousnesses, then what do I have left? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. That is not only once in the life of that people. No, that is happening more. There are steps in that life of grace. And now that finding that is not only in the way of regeneration, but there is also a finding in the way of the revelation that is to a bankrupt sinner, or as that treasure that is hid in that field, that is there. It is congregation in that Word of God. And that people, they have begun to seek to find that treasure in that Word of God, and yet it is hid. Oh, there is nothing so hid as that mediator to that people. There is nothing so hid as that second person of that beloved Trinity. They read of him. They hear of him. And he is to them as one who has set them an example that they may follow in his footsteps of righteousness. And then what? And then that day of the Lord's good pleasure comes. Oh, from all eternity, that day that has been set there. When the Lord, he becomes a surprising God to this people. When the Lord, he opens, he takes the veil off the eyes of this people that they may see. And then the Lord shows to them that mediator. He opens to them that precious Son of God. And what do they see? Oh, they see a new, the Bible says, a new and living way. They see a way of free and sovereign grace. They see a way of mercy and a way of grace. They see what they have never seen before in their life. It is as a treasure. A treasure which was so hid to that people, all laying just in that book, all laying out of sight, and now found. Oh, that is a day of great joy. Why? Because it now becomes possible in the life of that people. Oh, when the Lord, he has taken away all their righteousnesses, then they thought, for sure, then I can never receive that blessed treasure. But now the Lord shows them that this is just the way wherein that treasure is to be received. What is that way? Oh, it is lying in the active and in the passive obedience of that blessed Son of God. That is the solution for their soul's case and for joy thereof. Oh, the joy that is in that day. Why? Because they possess it? No. Because they possess that Son of God, because they can now claim that he is their Savior? No. But because he is revealed to them, because now they see the treasure, and now that work begins, there is a great change in the life of that people. Not in their state, as in the day of regeneration, but there is a change in the way that they are now seeking to obtain that treasure. Now they see that Christ is the way, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Then they see it is a way of grace. It is a way of mercy. Oh, what a treasure that becomes for their soul, as it has never been a treasure unto them before. Oh, then they desire that they may possess him. No, they do not have him yet. But for a moment they have seen how it is possible that they can receive that treasure. How? By selling everything in order to buy in their bankruptcy. Oh, that is a mystery. To sell everything that they might buy as a poor sinner. That is now the way. That is so mysterious, but they have seen it, and they have experienced something for a moment of the blessedness of this way, and they are seeking now that they may obtain it. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field, O congregation. What is now the value of our sinful life? What is the value of our vain life? What is the value of our carnal life? If you would sell it, what would you get for it? What will it be worth when you are standing at the end of your life before the judgment seat of God? What will be all the treasures of this world that we see as valuable today, that we see as precious today? What will be its value in a short time? Is it not all fading away? Oh, there is a treasure. There is a treasure that is so close to us. That treasure that is very, very close, and yet it is hidden. Do you believe that? That treasure that is to be had freely from our side, and yet it is very costly, because there is a selling that has to take place in our life in order to receive it. Are we willing to sell everything else in order that we may buy that field, in order that we may be a recipient? Then you say, if that has to happen, something has to happen in my life. That is right. Then my view has to change. That is why we say, boys and girls, ask the Lord for a new heart. But I have a second question. Not only what is our vain life worth, what is now our religion worth? What is it worth? All of our righteousnesses. We are religious people, more than many in this world. Our perceived value of all our religion and all our righteousnesses, they are standing more in the way of the salvation of our soul than what is standing in the way of publicans and harlots. That is not my word. That is the word of Christ. We have to sell. And if we now try to sell all our righteousnesses, our religion, what is that worth? What is it worth? How long have you been coming to the house of God? What is that worth? Does it have value? Do you know what Solomon said? I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. They had come and gone their whole life long, and they were buried, a wicked man. A wicked man. What was it worth? Nothing. It all needs to be sold, or we cannot be saved. And when we finally have sold it and have received nothing for it, then we are a poor man. Then we are a poor man. And now there is for that people a treasure. It's hidden in that field, that there may be such poor people that may be given eyes to behold the treasure for them in that holy word of God. Because when everything is gone, and when we have nothing more to pay, then he says that it is to be received freely, without money and without price. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is a few words all we ask thee. Wilt thou give that it may become a treasure to each and every one, both young and old? It is so close to us. We are brought by thee so near. Oh, we ask, take thou the veil from our eyes, that we might see, and that we may be drawn by thee. Oh, that our hearts might run after thee. Forgive all of our many, many sins. Bring us safely to our places. Keep us in the week to come from all danger and accident, evil and sin. Give us to do that which is right in thy most holy sight. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 125, stanzas 1 and 2. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King, forsake the world and every former friend. 1 and 2 of Psalter 125. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.